This is Fresh Air. For the past 3 years, Vernon Loeb has been the Southeast Asia correspondent for the Philadelphia Inquirer. His home base has been Manila. We called him earlier today in Manila to discuss his latest series of articles based on his travels through Thailand, Bangladesh, and Burma. The leader of Burma's democracy movement, Aung San Suu Kyi, is under house arrest even though she won the Nobel Peace Prize. It's not just democracy that's under attack in Burma. Ethnic minorities are being forced to flee the country. The Karen are fleeing across the Thai border. The Muslims are crossing into Bangladesh. Loeb started his series with an article about a problem unrelated to the military crackdown in Burma. Thailand has become the epicenter of the AIDS epidemic in Asia. I asked Vernon Loeb why AIDS has spread so rapidly in Thailand.
Well, I think in Thailand, it started out with spreading rapidly through the needle-using population. I think they have something like 300,000 heroin addicts in Thailand because, you know, that's a lot of the opium just flows right out of the Golden Triangle into Thailand, especially northern Thailand. So you have this large population of about 300,000 heroin addicts and who sort of culturally share needles as kind of, or at least they used to, as sort of the cultural experience. So AIDS sort of rocketed through them, and then they sort of intersected with Thailand's huge population of prostitutes. So it spread from the needle users into the sex industry, and then from the sex industry it spread into the Thai male population, which is extremely promiscuous. And then from the Thai men, it spread to their wives and then ultimately to their children.
In your writing about Thailand, you talked a lot about how some people are really being involuntarily subjected to the AIDS virus and to sexual relations in general. I mean, there's a large, like, sex slave trade in that area.
Right, right. I wrote about one woman who I found at a shelter for infected prostitutes, whose story was one of the most horrendous I'd ever heard told in Southeast Asia. She's from a poor rural village. She went to Bangkok with one of her friends to be a waitress. The next thing she knows, she's sold by the owner of the restaurant to a brothel owner out in the provinces, who turns around and sells her to another brothel owner, and you know, there she's basically forced into sex slavery for the next 6 months, contracts AIDS, only gets out of the brothel to get an abortion, and you know, ultimately doesn't have the abortion and ends up in this home for infected prostitutes, and her baby dies, and now she's waiting to die.
In the trip that we've been talking about, you went to Thailand, Burma, and Bangladesh. What's the thread that held that trip together in terms of what you took away?
I think it was basically a trip designed to get at you know, the reality of Burma, and to do that, you've basically got to go to two border areas where you've got an insurgency on one border, a refugee problem on the other, and then you've got to actually go into Burma itself. You can't go into Burma and get to either of these borders from inside the country because movements are very controlled inside the country. So it's basically, you know, a trip designed to tell the story of Burma from all its various locales.
And did the AIDS story relate to that?
No, it didn't. I just did the AIDS story while I was in Bangkok, sort of, you know, getting ready for the Burma assault. But I had also, before I left, I'd done an AIDS story in Manila, so I did a package on AIDS contrasting the situation in Manila with the situation in Bangkok. So it was kind of a two-part trip in that respect.
My guest is Vernon Loeb, Southeast Asia correspondent for the Philadelphia Inquirer. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Vernon Loeb, Southeast Asia correspondent for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Let's talk about Burma. There are a lot of Karen who are ethnics living in Burma who have been fleeing Burma and crossing over into Thailand. Did you see much of that when you were in Thailand?
Yeah, there are Karen camps all along the Thai-Burma border. I think there's around 60,000 Karen living in these refugee camps, and they've been, many of them have been living there for 5 or 6 years or more. Basically, they flee their villages. When the Burmese army comes through and grabs them for use as porters, or burns down their houses, or starts shooting at them, or something like that.
So there must be a heck of a lot of refugee camps right now in Thailand. There's still a lot of Cambodians living in refugee camps in Thailand. Now you have the Karen coming over, too. Is that becoming a big problem for Thailand?
Well, the Cambodian problem is sort of reaching its end, finally. You've had over 300,000 Cambodians in refugee camps on the Thai-Cambodian border since the early 80s. And now they're finally... The UNHCR is now finally making plans to send them back to Cambodia. The problem there on that side is that they've got to clear the landmines from the entrance roads back into Cambodia before they can even begin to bring the refugees back. But I think they're now saying that sometime in the next year, it's possible that all 300,000 of those Khmer refugees can be back inside Cambodia. So you've got... on that side of Thailand, probably the biggest refugee problem, approaching a solution. On the Thai-Burma border, you've got a smaller number of Karen, and it's never sort of become as established a refugee population as the Cambodians were. The Cambodian camps essentially became small Khmer cities. Camp called Site 2 is actually the second largest Khmer city in the world after Phnom Penh. The Karen camps, on the other hand, along the Burma border, are much more sort of makeshift kinds of places of bamboo huts and dirt roads and things like that. They've never sort of become the institutionalized places that the Khmer camps were, institutionalized primarily by international aid and international relief organizations working in them. But, the numbers have been growing, and the fighting between the Burmese army and the Karens has been fiercer this year than it has been for a number of years. So, it's likely that the Karen refugee problem will exist for the Thais and the Burmese and the Karen for, years to come.
What is the fighting between the Karen and the Burmese army actually about?
Well, I think it's about territory, I guess, more than anything else. The Karen insurgents have managed to hold certain land inside Burma in the traditional Karen areas for a number of years. And the Burmese, over the last several years, have been slowly pushing them out of those areas in closer and closer to Thailand, and in some cases across the Thai border. So... and this year it's come down to several Karen strongholds that are left, and the Burmese threatening them. So I guess on one level it's about land. On another sort of larger level, it's about control and whether who's going to run Burma in the future. The Karen have now hooked up with the Burmese students and a number of, and most of the other ethnic insurgent groups in Burma. I think there's 19 groups all together as part of this United Front now. But the Karen are probably along the Thai border doing the bulk of the fighting.
Who are the Karen?
The Karen are an ethnic group that migrated down into Burma from China hundreds of years ago. In the early 20th century, many of them were... converted to Christianity by American missionaries. There are Baptist Karen, and there are some Catholic Karen, and they're a very attractive, appealing people. They're very strong culture, and they're very committed to their cause. They've been fighting the Burmese since 1948. Have little to show for their efforts, and yet they keep up year after year. And they pride themselves also on being one of the only ethnic insurgent groups in Burma that don't fund their activities through the sale of opium. Burma's the largest opium-producing country in the world, and the Karen, by all accounts, are not involved in it. So they are a a people that's very easy to like and to identify with.
So in Burma now, you have a lot of Karen refugees fleeing to the southeast and going to Thailand, and then you've got also at the same time a lot of Muslims fleeing north to Bangladesh. Why are the Muslims being persecuted in Burma?
Well, there's been deep historic antipathy between the Burmese majority and the Muslims in the Arakan state. And for some reason that nobody can quite understand, over the past year, the Burmese army has just begun this sort of systematic campaign to terrorize the Muslim population and drive them into Bangladesh. I say no one can quite figure it out because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, here's a country that for 30 years wanted nothing to do with the outside world, isolated itself intentionally from the rest of the world, and now suddenly these same people are orchestrating a huge refugee crisis that's bringing the country very much in focus and bringing the wrath of the whole Muslim world down on Burma.
You write for the Philadelphia Inquirer. I live in Philadelphia, and I know that I think a lot of us feel in the position that as much as we really want to keep up with what's happening around the world, it's just so difficult to really understand the full complication of political fighting in the many different countries in which there is political fighting now. This has to be the kind of thing you think about when you're sitting back home in the Philippines typing up your reports, knowing that it's people in Philadelphia who are going to be reading it. How do you take that into account when you're writing your reports, knowing how far away you are from the city in which your writing is actually going to be read, and also how kind of like busy and preoccupied your readers really are?
Right. In a way, I think it's I almost think it's a virtue that the readers are far away and I'm in places that are very strange to them. I kind of see my job as making the Philadelphia Inquirer sort of come alive for readers, making it a more interesting, provocative paper to read. So that's a lot easier, I think, when you're in a place like Burma, which is so frozen in time, so different, so easy to make interesting to a reader in Philadelphia. I basically think people anywhere in the world are interested in the way other people live. If you can, it's one thing to talk in the abstract about Muslim refugees fleeing from Burma into Bangladesh from one country that, you know, people in Philadelphia may not even know where it is on the map into a part of Bangladesh that they probably couldn't locate. But, you know, if you could take one of those people and, you know, make that person come alive through the detail of their lives and what they look like, you know, where they come from, what happened to them. I think that's the kind of thing that people anywhere can find interesting and will be interested by.
You've really described one of your techniques, which is when you're in a different part of the world, you try to find a person or a family whose story embodies the larger political story. And through telling their tale, you can get a specific example of what the problem is in that part of the world. How do you find the right person or the right family whose story to tell?
Well, you don't always find the exact right one, but I think everybody has a story to tell. You know,
but not everybody's story is equally enlightening. I've certainly learned that.
If you go to a place that's unusual enough or that's unknown enough to people in the United States, if you describe the existence of a deaf mute, it would be interesting. You know, just what the village looks like, what life is like, what people eat, what they wear, what the weather is like. I mean, it's all interesting. I think the woman I wrote about in Bangkok, to me, she brilliantly capsulized the tragedy of AIDS in Thailand, where, you know, a country where you've got 1% of the population infected with HIV. She was a perfect, you know, metaphor for the agony of her nation. You're not always that lucky, but in Bangladesh, where you've got refugees streaming across the border, you just talk to almost anyone and their story is compelling and interesting. I mean, here you have people, you know, fleeing their homes, fleeing the land where their ancestors have lived. Even the least articulate, least educated person has something compelling to say in that situation.
Well, Vernon Loeb, I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Vernon Loeb is Southeast Asia correspondent for the Philadelphia Inquirer. This is Fresh Air.